from the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe. It's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through to interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by Cutter's Edge. You need to have a bunch of really sad teenage girls cut your hair, you should always check out the Cutter's Edge. Make sure you check them out on the internet, cuttersedge.com, and don't forget to use the special listener checkout code of DI Plus for an extra special cut. Welcome to DI Plus. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined by the haircut-free state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hi. So what's the deal with haircuts? Are you saying that I need one? Is that...
You know what? I recognize, and you know, the people listening at home cannot see the video of you, but I recognize that you just came back from the Davy Jones lookalike contest, and you're going for that little 60s bob cut on your head there. I think that's amazing. Well, either that or you could possibly have been trying out for Friar Tuck, I think, in the local production of Robin Hood.
No, look, I do need a haircut, but it's... I am in the process. What happened was... I don't even know if I want to get into this.
Right. Well, hold on. Before you get into it, we actually have a special in-studio guest today. And first of all, before we even get to the in-studio guest, I have to apologize for our sound quality this week because my computer shit the bricks. My computer's dead. It's completely... So I had to buy a new computer, and I haven't gotten everything set up on it yet. So we are all recording through Adam. So I sound as though I'm coming through Skype to the folks at... Well, it's not Skype. It's Google Plus, but...
Yeah. Yeah,
but we are joined from the Sunshine State, from the state of Florida, by my nephew, the youngest nephew, Kent Brewer Gutowski.
Hey, America.
Hey, Kent. Nice to meet you.
He actually thinks that America listens.
Absolutely.
You always address America. There are six people that listen to us.
And I assume they're scattered throughout America.
They are scattered throughout America. And so Kent has been up here. It is Robert's and my ninth anniversary this past weekend. And it was Kent's 26th.
That is correct.
26th birthday the week before. So we flew him up here to celebrate both of those things. We had a great day in New York City yesterday. And then this evening, we will be heading out to the Mohegan Sun Casino here in Connecticut.
That seems to be the like typical thing that you do with people when they come is take them to the Mohegan Sun. Is that right? Mohegan?
Mohegan. Yes, the Mohegan Sun.
So it's not Mohegan like the last of the Mohicans.
No, it's Mohegan as in...
Mohegan Sun.
Right. You know what? That clears it up.
We're here to clear things up for you. I'm very glad.
So you said he's your nephew, right?
Yeah, I did. Not only did I say it, it's true.
So
he is my sister's son, which would make him my nephew. Yes.
So you can say you are going to be celebrating, or you are celebrating your ninth anniversary. He is celebrating his 26th anniversary of being your nephew.
That's right.
There you go. So about
go ahead.
Oh, so about the haircut, quickly.
I'm getting a haircut.
Hey,
people are sitting on the edge of their seat.
They were just like,
oh, dear God, get back to the haircut already. I'm dying to know what's going on with the haircut.
I believe there was a dangling modifier show. I believe that was even a title at one point. And you have a dangling topic there, and people are sitting on the edge of their seats going, what the hell? I wanted to hear.
The chat room won't shut up about it. They're just, tell us about the haircut.
Yes. I know they are. If only Big Fatty were here, then he would make a comment about moist cookies. But.
I need my haircut. Well, Big Fatty doesn't have any hair to cut. That's the so he wouldn't.
But really quickly, I have a thing. I'm very particular. Maybe people would not know that by looking at me, but I am. And I can't seem to find someone. The person that I liked stopped cutting hair.
Yes.
As it's wont to happen to me for some reason. They cut my hair a couple of times and then, no, I am not cutting any hair anymore.
Because it is a thankless profession.
And then I tried the one that Mark uses and I didn't like her. Right. And so now I'm in this position of I can't decide who to go to next because I get so nervous about it. So finally, I just trimmed my own bangs.
But then what could possibly go wrong there?
Well, my hairstyle, you can't tell if I trim my own. I mean, it's supposed to look messy. So even if I mess up, it's like whatever. But I'm going to take – my mom has been recommending her person for the past 2 years, and I haven't gone to her person. So but she doesn't work – on the weekends.
There's your problem right there. There's your problem right there.
Going to my mom's person?
No, going to a female. Do not go to a female haircutter.
Well, you know, I have, when I was in Dallas, I went to usually gay hair cutter people.
You are a gay man. You should go to a gay hair cutter. They would be like, oh, well, I know what you want. And they'll because, you know, if you're a straight guy, then go fine. Go to the girl and whatever.
Well, I don't know of any gay male hairstylists here in where I live.
If only there was an internetworked system of computers.
Where I could look up gay hair cutters in Rogers.
You could ask a question like, where are the gay hair cutters in Arkansas? I bet you know, if sometime in the future, there'll probably be some device like that that you could type that in and it would tell you those
but,
things.
But, you know, I do want to make this comment.
There's a website.
When I wear a hat, you make a comment, Adam, you look very much better without a hat. You should really stop wearing your hat. Oh, why are you wearing your hat again today, Adam? Then the one day I say, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not going to wear my hat. Then you're like, well, you know, Friar Tuck coming at you from, you know, it doesn't matter what I do. You know, next week I'm just going to wear a turban or something.
And then I will make a Muslim joke. So it's, you know, I think what you're basically saying there is that it doesn't really matter what you do. I will make fun of it.
Yes.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Didn't know that. Right. So we've been gone for a while. Why have we been gone?
Well, you know, a lot of people have asked, are we still doing the show? No, we've had several people ask. And yes, indeed, we are still doing a show. We were and are still in the middle of contract negotiations. It is the beginning of the fiscal year for DI Plus.
Right. And so I've been holding out for a raise.
Apparently a new computer because that's what it. No, you know, we've been busy. And or by we, I mean, no, I guess both of us. So the first week we missed, you and I had scheduling conflicts.
Right. I went to Chicago where I met up with the boys from Foul Monkeys. I had a lovely dinner with them. So
there was that. And I didn't know that you met up with them. How was that? Now I know you have a crush on one of them.
Yeah, we don't talk about it.
You don't talk about it.
We won't talk about the dinner. The dinner was, let's just say that their little tagline of slinging the poo so you don't have to is quite literal. It's like that was they just started throwing food around the Chili's. It was very embarrassing.
Now, why did you go to Chili's? You need to pick some place. You're in a new place that you haven't been very often. I think you have gone to Chicago multiple times, but
yes.
It's not some place that you're at all the time. And you choose to go to a chain restaurant instead of trying something new?
Yes, because you see, Adam, the point of it was to socialize with my friends from Foul Monkeys, not so much about where, like, oh my God, this wasn't a date night where you were like trying to impress someone with food. This was more of a whatever. It was -5 degrees.
Ugh.
And the Chili's was in the parking lot of my hotel, so it was
even worse. You made them come to you.
Well, I didn't rent a car while I was there.
You're like, all right, you know, this will be the easiest for me. You guys just come to the Chili's.
In my defense, Bradley and Waylon offered to come pick me up, and they chose the restaurant. They chose something close to my hotel. Because it wasn't just, I guess, now that Bradley and Waylon don't live with Ricky and Lauren doesn't live with, so they're all like in different, so it was Lala, Lauren, and Ricky, and Bradley and Waylon. And so they all, you know, they live in different places, so they had to come from different locations, so.
So
I'm just saying, you know, I wasn't the logistics director on that.
Okay. You know, I do, the team that I work on is logistics. Just, I'm going to throw this out there because I was speaking of contract negotiations, just so that everyone knows and you can send Amazon gift cards or congratulations or whatever. I was informed on Thursday that I'm getting a promotion.
Yes.
At work. So
wait, are you getting more money?
Yeah, it's a 10% raise.
Then you should be giving away Amazon gift cards. You should be asking for Amazon gift cards.
Come
up with a giveaway that he could like give away.
I definitely go with Amazon gift cards.
Right. So like how much you got a 10% raise?
10%.
10%.
So yeah. So like let's just pick a number out of the air. Let's say he was making $100,000 last year. So 10%.
Easily 10 grand.
10,000. So he should give away at least half of that, right? So we should give away $5,000 in Amazon gift cards, courtesy of Adam.
Now, wait just a minute. Wait. First of all, you made an assumption that I made $100,000 a year.
Oh, it was more? Oh, you know, I was trying to.
I will tell you the actual amount that I make per year. It's $500. So the amount, and let's see, 10% of that is 50. So then I need to give away $25.
So you're going to give away a $25.
If if indeed we were following through on your scenario, then it would need to be 25.
Right. Apparently, Adam had, I mean, Adam, I can't.
But you want us to give you money because you've got a raise.
I want because to congratulate me for my advancement.
I definitely congratulate
you. See, Kent has tweeted out your haircut on Twitter.
I have.
So what is your Twitter? Kenny.
Kenny G125.
Kenny G125, because you know his birthday was January 25th.
I'm very creative, isn't that?
That's very.
I also
very,
enjoy soft jazz.
That's right, soft jazz. Kenny G. Let's see.
Clarinet and flute.
Oh, that is an awesome picture of Adam's hair.
Is there really a picture of my hair on Twitter?
I did a screenshot for all of us.
All right. Let's see.
Well, everyone knows what I look like.
Right. And, well, no, I'm just saying.
Well, there is that atrocity
on
your
let's
head.
See. Let's see. How can I?
And, you know, in my.
The unfortunate
part
is I can't talk because I also need a haircut.
I always keep it about this length here. But the problem is the poofiness on the side and the back.
I talked to Robert about that, and he said the way to fix that was perms.
A large rod perm. We'll get rid of poofiness.
Say large rod.
Say what?
Large rod.
Large rod is let's see. I'm gonna post my own picture here
on Twitter.
I don't know if I want to do it on Twitter.
So what you're saying is a large rod will get rid of the poofiness.
No, a large rotted perm is what he's saying. Is you're breathing into the microphone.
My bad.
How do I post a picture from Twitter? Yeah. I compose it to. Oh, there's a little thing there. All right. So, Adam's new haircut. So, I'm going to post my own copy of the picture of Adam's haircut there. Just post
mine. Not good enough for you, Daniel?
No, look at mine. I think mine captures just, more of the spirit of it.
You know, just don't. I don't know if I've turned my head at all. But don't get a picture of the back.
Right.
Because that's where there's no need for haircut at all.
See, I think
back there.
Now that they are pick twick links, I think we can actually post them.
Well, you know, I think Davy Jones is very attractive. And if you're saying that I look like Davy Jones,
just the hair,
then, you know, I'm fine with that.
There you go. So I posted it in the chat room there. You can see a picture of Adam's haircut there.
Is it Kenny underscore G?
No, it's just
Kenny G.
G125.
Let's see. Kenny G. Hmm. Oh, yeah, that's what I look like.
Imagine that.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's nothing I can do. I mean, you know.
There's a cod. There's a link to Kent.
Now, I am getting a haircut this week, hopefully.
Excellent.
Am I?
So just to make sure, Kent wants you to follow him at Kenny G125 because nothing would make him happier than a whole bunch of gay guys to be following him on his Twitter account. So
that's what I'm here for. Now, Adam, are you going to get your hair cut by a gay man, or are you, in fact, going to go with the straight woman?
I'm going. Oh, I don't know if she's straight. I don't know the woman. I mean, I guess the assumption would be that she's straight, but I don't know who to go to. And my mom has been recommending this person for a long time.
Do we have a picture of your mom's hair?
I would like to see that.
I don't want to put a picture of my mom up on those. No. We do not.
I think
have
it would be irresponsible of us to help you make a decision without seeing the work.
I wasn't asking. All I was doing. Look, this is drug way out. I just want it to be known that I was trying to be succinct and to the point with this topic.
And
now Twitter has been notified of my hair.
Yes.
And we have spent like 10, 15 minutes on the Davy Jones hair.
All right.
You know, this was not me.
I was having fun.
I still want to see his mother's hair.
This is no moist cookie story. I just want everyone to know that right now.
All right. So, I can't get into Trello.
I don't know why. Is it the new computer?
No, that's not my. Oh, I signed in with my Google account. That's why, because the little thing that says use your Google account to log in wasn't highlighted there. Now I see it. So let's see. You have two things on the.
I do.
Right. And before we get to your Atlanta trip, I just want to say a little foreshadowing there. We're going to talk about Adam's Atlanta trip. I want to say Stephen and Robert and I went to the very last weekend showing of Peter and the Starcatcher.
So congratulations.
We got to go see Peter and Starcatcher on Broadway. It was great, even though the theater that it's in is we were over on the extreme right orchestra side. We had a great view of the stage and it was wonderful and I could see everything and it was great. And I was just like, this is an amazing seats. And then Stewie Griffin walked in about 2 minutes before the curtain went up with a large oversized football head and sat directly in front of me. And I literally could not, I would like lean way over to the side to try to see around him. It was very annoying.
Now I'm sure that somebody's telling me to buy a few new ball caps and be done with it.
Kingsley.
So, for some reason, I can't read names either.
Right.
So, not indeed the real Stewie.
No, but I'm sure it was that really big. What it was is a Chinese guy, all right? It was a Chinese guy who was very tall. And you know how they have that haircut? Because they have that thick black hair.
I'm aware, yes.
And it kind of flares out like a crown, you know what I'm saying? So, it was the way he had it cut.
Well, you know. When Mark's hair, Mark is not Chinese, but he does have that same affliction. And when his hair gets that way, you know, I'm like, okay, time for a haircut.
Right. So I guess the guy realized because by the second act, he was slouching down in his seat because I was quite vocal about the fact that I couldn't fucking see through his head. Anyway, Peter and Starcatcher, great, great show, by the way. It's closed on Broadway, but if you're in the New York City area, it will be opening again off Broadway on March 18th. I highly recommend going and seeing it.
So, you know, if you were checking in on Foursquare at this event, mm-hmm. and you know there's a way for you to post a tip on Foursquare. So would you have checked in and said, wonderful, wonderful musical, or whatever it is, but if you're coming to this show, my tip for you is don't sit behind an Asian.
Yes. Yes. My tip would, and this is all part of the learning process, right? There's a whole bunch of theaters on Broadway and in New York, and each one of them is different. So when you look at a seating chart, it doesn't mean a lot to you until you have been in the theater. So as a juxtaposition to that, last night or yesterday afternoon, we all went to see Avenue Q at a theater that Robert and I had already been to, so we knew the theater, and we picked out seats. Now, Kent, you were there. Were they good seats?
They were wonderful seats.
They were wonderful seats. See, we could see the stage. Everything was great. And so, because we knew by looking at the seating chart, we knew because we had been in the theater. We're like, oh, those would be good seats. So we actually had mezzanine seats for the Avenue Q. They were only $36 a ticket. It was awesome. We went with Brian and Kevin from Danbury and Stephen and Robert and Kent and myself. And so six of us there at Avenue Q. Yesterday.
Was that after the Country Gay Bar?
No,
or
was before.
That was before the Country Gay Bar.
That was definitely
okay.
Before the Country
Bar. We went the Country Gay Bar just happened to be close to the comedy club that we were going to, but Avenue Q let out, and then we had an hour and a half to kill.
What about that?
So we had like an hour and a half to kill, so we walked down to the comedy theater, and we still had like an hour before we could actually get in. And it was very cold outside. There was flurries going on in New York City. It was very cold, and so to kill an hour, that would happen to be the closest place. What was it called? It was called like Flaming Bedsores or something like that.
Ew.
I think it was called Flaming Barstools.
Flaming Barstools in New York City, if you're there. It is a country
meth bar.
Gay bar. Yeah, a country gay meth bar, we're assuming. But it is a country gay bar. Now, I have lived on this planet for a very long time. As you well know, I'm 60 years old and look great for 60. But I've been going to gay bars for good, you know, 50 of those 60 years. And, you know, I've never been to, even in Florida, I've never been to a gay bar where they played country music.
You know, in Dallas, where I used to live,
yes.
There is a country gay bar on the strip called Roundup.
Yes.
And I've been there a few times. So, yeah, it's kind of scary. It's like, first of all, they have a dance. It's it reminds you of, I can't even think of it. They have that dance floor.
Yes.
That looks this one had like a wooden fence around it to make it look more
right.
Country, I guess.
Right, because you don't. Well, there's one thing you want to do when you get a lot of country people together is make sure that they are penned in.
Right, and you know there was like rope and you know country kind of accoutrement or you know whatever you would say, and the dance floor was I believe parquet wood flooring.
Right. Well, part of the reason keeping them pinned in like that is a well-known fact that country people like to line dance, and they will get out of hand with that shit, and they'll just keep going, you know, and pretty soon they're knocking over things. They're breaking your good Holocaust china.
Well, what? No. You know, they did a lot of line dancing there, and you saw a lot of Wranglers. Now, if you want to know about Wranglers and country line dancing, ask Country Wes, because he would know about that kind of thing. But they would also play when every night that I was there, at least once in the night, they played The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia. And they had a big video screen, and they would play.
Is that like a Gladys Knight song?
I don't know. I don't know. But here's the deal. If anyone has ever watched Designing Women, there is a scene in Designing Women where Julia, the older one, is defending her sister, Delta Burke. What was her name?
Delta Burke.
No, but what was her name in Designing Women? It was
Julia Sugarbaker.
Julia Sugarbaker and her sister. Delta Burke played her sister.
If only there was a website.
I can't talk and Google at the same time. Whatever her name is. Suzanne. Suzanne. Thank you, chat room. Look.
Suzanne.
And there's a scene where she's like talking about how when Suzanne was in this pageant, she twirled her baton so high that it went up into the light thingy and sparks flew, you know, illuminating her tear-stained cheeks. And that is The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia. Anyway, so
I was just saying that Dixie Carter played the part of Julia Sugarbaker McElroy. Delta Burke played the part of Suzanne Sugarbaker Goff Dent Stonechipper. And Annie Potts played the part of Mary Jo Jackson Shively. Jean Smart played the part of Charlene Olivia Fraser Stillfield. And Meshach Taylor played Anthony Bouvier.
Yes, it's actually Shively. But
no, okay. But, well, you know, after what they each have 26 names, and I mispronounced one of them.
Well,
I think that's pretty good. And Alice Ghostly was Bernice Clifton.
Yeah, she played a crazy woman, basically.
She was. So there you go. So speaking of
Georgia,
but wait, before did I tell you that the thing that sets the Flaming Bad Sores apart from the other country gay bars in the country is that they have two meth addicts on staff. I don't know.
On staff?
Maybe at night. Because we were there, you know, basically, what was it, like 5:30, 6 o'clock?
And the sun just would gone down.
Right. I'm sure later in the evening, maybe they have like, you know, a whole, what do you call a grouping of meth addicts? It's like
tweakers.
A tweaking of meth addicts. You know, like a parliament of owls. There's like a tweaking of meth addicts, I'm sure, were up there. They probably were already there and in the back and using some kind of air spray device to paint their jeans on, because these little meth addicts that had the tightest jeans I've ever seen in my life on them.
Otherwise known as typical jeans in the South.
And they,
that's what happens.
And boots. And they would get up on the bar, on the wooden bar that stretched the length of the building, and they would dance to music. You know, whatever the song
was.
Well,
don't you normally dance to music? I mean,
no, but I'm saying it was badly done. It was like badly done pageant music where like they had a CD player that they would have to like push. And then it's like it was clearly taken from like a mixtape because it started to go into another song and then they had to cut it off.
Well, I wonder, you know, so is this actual Southern gays that have moved to New York and feel homesick? Or is this New Yorkers who have decided they would like that Southern, you know, to take on that Southern persona?
You know, if Dr. Wesley Pythagoras Stone was here, he could answer this, because, you know, he has a fetish for guys with Southern accents. So maybe that's a thing, right? I'm from a place with Southern accents, so that's not a thing. You are from a place with Southern accents, isn't it? So
I have
maybe
one.
Maybe Midwesterners and Northerners or whatever, you know, think it's cute. Like I think it's hot for a guy to have a British accent or something, right? They sound smart even though they're not. But maybe that's a thing. Like, oh, you know, I really like guys with Southern accents. And so they built the Flaming Barstool bar to attract them. I don't know. Maybe they're starving actors and they're just playing the part of,
I don't know. Well, country bars and Georgia lead me right into where I was. That was this weekend, but you were in Chicago, and we couldn't record because we just had conflicts left and right. So then the next weekend, I was going to be in Atlanta. I got a comp day and I moved it. Mark and I have been wanting to go somewhere, like take a trip together. So he said, take your comp day on Friday and we'll take a trip. So I said, let's go to Atlanta because we can drive there. It is an 11-hour drive, so it's not.
I just realized the chat room, the Kingsley in the chat room said that Wranglers are iconoclastic.
I didn't see that.
So you're driving. You drove to Atlanta from Arkansas.
We did. It's an 10 and a half hour drive from where I live, roughly.
Yeah.
And
share the driving or?
Well, we did, but for some, and I still haven't gotten him to admit or to tell me why, but for some reason, once he got behind the wheel, I had to like pry it away from him. He didn't want me, he just wanted to drive like the whole way. And I should have just.
Maybe you're just a really bad driver.
No, I'm not. And the thing is, he's only been driving for like all of a year and a half.
Well, there you go. That's why then.
Well, maybe. He's just so.
I'm just telling you, as a kid, the lake house, right? Kent is familiar with our lake house, from our family's lake house, which is now his family's lake house. Dad could get me to do any chore as a kid as long as it involved me driving.
Oh, absolutely.
We need to clear out that entire backyard there and haul away all these and cut the logs and like get them and haul them down to a dump and everything.
You can pull the truck around.
That's right. But you can pull the truck around to do it. It's like, hell yeah, sold. I get to drive the truck. Right?
Well, and maybe that's it. Maybe so. But we did kind of go back and forth a little bit. I mostly was sitting, which is fine. I don't like to drive all that much, but I, for some reason, I'm like thinking in my head, well, what's wrong with me? Why don't you want me to drive? Do you not like my drive? You know, I'm thinking all this stuff in my head, but that's just me. So we went to Atlanta, and one of the reasons, if anyone knows me, they will know that this is a true statement. One of the reasons I wanted to go to Atlanta is because there are two fully nude strip clubs in Atlanta. So that was
I think you talk about this like all the time.
Oh, maybe. But anyway, like that was one of the reasons.
Show.
So and the other reason was it was within driving distance and somewhere that he had not been and there were things to do. So we decided to get the city pass ticket.
I was just playing with the little Google effect. Sorry. Go ahead.
So we decided to get the city pass and it includes the Coke tour.
Yeah.
The aquarium, the zoo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. And then the Natural History Museum.
Oh, the Natural History Museum.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And excellent. And also it's called the Fernbank Museum of Natural History.
Fernbank.
Yeah. And something else. Oh, art museum.
Wait. So you basically went there. You admitted you basically went there because you wanted to go to a strip club. And now you're like trying to, make yourself feel better by like throwing in a bunch of cultural things?
No,
like,
we want
to. Well, yeah, I want to see the naked guys on the stage, the fully naked guys on the stage. I'm willing to drive 10 and a half hours to that. But, you know, just so that I'm not a total sleazebag, I went to the Natural History Museum.
No, I have no problem. I do not feel like I'm a sleazebag because I enjoy strip clubs. I don't need to make myself feel better. I wanted to do those other things as well. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I want to say the Natural History Museum, the highlight of that was that they have an IMAX theater. So because the museum itself was shit, I just want to say it was shit. Stop it.
All right.
Have you ever been to a Natural History Museum and like a not good one where you go through and they just have these stuffed fake animals?
Wait. Let me just say this. Kingsley says that Adam went to Atlanta for a Coke and a smile. Oh, wait, wrong one. What I meant to say was Adam went to Atlanta for a Coke and a smile.
Wouldn't it be a cock and a smile?
Oh, a cock and a smile. Excellent. Yes.
So the highlight of that particular thing was that they did have an IMAX. They had two IMAX theaters. Now, they have this event on Friday nights that we were able to go to, which is called Martinis and Shit something. Martinis that, and something.
Wait. And shit. Martinis and Shit. that sounds awesome.
It's called Martinis and...
we'll just go with Martinis and Shit.
I like that. I would go there. I would go to a place.
I think
called
it's called Martinis and
Shit.
IMAX. I think. I don't know. Well, it doesn't rhyme.
Boring. Yeah, that's boring.
So we go that night, and the tables. They have this room with the big dinosaur, fake dinosaur bones. I thought they were real, but I think they were actually not real.
Now, if it's the Natural History Museum, they would have to be real, right?
Well, I don't. I think everything they had there were replicas. I'm not kidding.
Then it should be called the Synthetic History Museum.
It's something. It was crap. Anyway, so, and then you can order food and you can get drinks and everything. And they had a jazz band playing. So that was all right.
Because nothing says Natural History Museum like a jazz band playing.
Kenny G loves some jazz.
That's right, a little jazz band playing.
And so we went to, so that particular event, we went to two IMAX viewings between 2 days. Mm-hmm. Because the exhibits were not open Friday night. So we thought, oh, we've got to go to the exhibits. Just if any of you are visiting Atlanta, you do not have to see the exhibits for the Fernbank Natural History Museum.
Okay.
Just telling you. So we saw a movie about Alaska.
Yes. What was it? Was it good?
It was good. And then we saw, now this is going to sound funny, but we saw a movie about, this is not going to sound interesting at all.
I was going to say, you set it up there by saying this is going to make you laugh, which immediately means no one's going to laugh.
Not laugh necessarily, but it's a movie about the migration of monarch butterflies.
Yes. Was it narrated by Morgan Freeman?
That's no, it wasn't. But you would think that that would be like a really boring, like, what are they going to do with fucking...
Listening in the morning sun as the dew drops off of them and the mighty moths cut through the thing.
Well, Morgan Freeman. There is one unrealistic part. They say that they're following this one monarch butterfly. There is no way that they knew, because these butterflies go all the way from Canada...
Yeah.
Down to, by the time it's over, they're down in Mexico City.
Yeah.
There are these like mountains there. Mm-hmm. But at the end, the cool thing about it that makes it touching is, and we both were kind of teary-eyed at the end, because this old man in Canada spent his life trying to figure out where the butterflies were going.
Mexico.
And he came up. And they said, well, he didn't know that till the end. Oh, and he was, okay. So he and his wife came up with a way to tag the butterflies with these little, and they said it was like,
my
when,
God.
Yeah, no, they tagged their little wings.
If something drove me that crazy that I would want to know that I would just follow them.
So like, they
I'm gonna take a couple of weeks off and follow them.
They tagged their wings. Yes. And then
and then they couldn't fly anymore. They're very small. They're very small. It was like try to outfit them with like a 1995 cell phone or something. They're just not going to be able to fly.
They said that the way they found something to tag them was with when the bread bag sticky things that they put on the price tags. Those work the best. So they started using those, and they came up with a way, the same glue or something, I don't know. But anyway, so at the end, he gets a call. Well,
they originally tagged him with RFID chips, but the butterflies had some serious privacy concerns about that, and so they sued them and made them take those away.
Well, this guy's like in his 80s, and he gets a call, and they're like, we found your butterfly, you know, and
it's
everything.
In Mexico.
And he takes the trip down to Mexico. And they say against his doctor's wishes, he goes to Mexico.
Oh, God.
And he looks down on the ground. They don't say they found his butterfly. They found where they think the butterflies are going. And he looks down on the ground, and there is the dead butterfly with his tag butterfly. On its wing.
Listening in the morning sun is his tag on the dead butterfly.
And he picks it up with tears in his eyes.
Oh, Jesus.
It's very touching. So, we also did the CNN tour, which
this is CNN. I can't.
Mark completely was bored, but I loved it. I would love to work there. They showed us all the behind the scenes. I had to pay for the VIP tour, so like all the behind the scenes, everything.
If you're gonna go, you might as well pay for the. Did you get to meet Anderson Cooper?
No, you know, and I don't even know. Does he record out of the Atlanta CNN or?
No, he doesn't. He records out of New York City. We saw him at the Flaming Bed Sores.
Okay.
Wasn't he there?
No. Although I think that what's her name, the woman, the Nancy Grace, she records out of the Atlanta studio, but she was not there.
She's crazy.
It was really fascinating though. But the only thing is, I knew everything they were saying. Like they showed us the green screen, and she's like, "This is called a green screen," and I was like, "Oh, really? I've got one of those in my apartment." I was like, you know. And anyway, but it will
touch you.
Right? It's very interesting. All of HLN, the whole entire HLN station is done on green screen.
Right.
They have one room about the size of this room that I'm in, and they do all of their shows in there, and they just change their backgrounds with the green screen.
Well, yeah.
That's
course.
It.
That makes sense.
So we did that. We did the aquarium. But if you go to Atlanta, they have the dolphin show, a dolphin show like the one at SeaWorld. But it's an indoor stadium. It's like this huge stadium indoors. I think this aquarium was only built in like 2005. It's really new.
All right. Very nice. before the time gets away from us, Adam.
Right.
Kent came all the way up from Florida.
To do a quiz, but I don't think...
To do a quiz. He had challenged Dr. Wesley Pythagoras Stone to a...
No show once again, huh?
To a Simpsons trivia quiz. No, you don't get to just win by default.
I'll
ask you 10 questions. 10 questions. Oh, I see. You didn't...
I didn't really expect him to show.
You didn't expect... Did you like... even though he didn't show, you're saying that you're unprepared?
Give me 10 questions. If I get all 10 correct, I win by default. Is that correct?
Okay, sure. If you get all 10 of them correct...
You can't just... All right, let's do it.
Question number one.
All right.
Are you ready? What
Let me pull up Google real quick.
No Google. What was the name of Bart's pet elephant?
Stampy.
That is correct. Stampy, yes. Do we have a thing?
Yeah, give me at least a little dun-dun-da-dun.
Do we have a thing? A ding-ding-ding-ding?
Bung-bung-bung-bung-bung.
That's a doorbell. That doesn't. No, you're breathing into the microphone again. All right. I will go with that. All right. So let's see. Here you go. A little bit more difficult question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Where does Marge hide the Christmas money?
That's in her hair.
In her hair. You're correct. Yes. She hides the Christmas money in her hair. Oh, wait. We went.
Now, okay. I have a question.
In one, episode three.
Is this all you do is watch Simpsons? Is this why?
Yeah, that's all I do.
Okay.
All right, here's a little bit more difficult one. They progress in difficulty as they go along.
Well, you are asking very specific. Okay. Show, I mean.
Right. What did Homer smuggle on board the space shuttle?
A bag of chips.
A bag of potato chips. That is correct.
And yes. An inanimate carbon rod actually was the savior of the day.
All right. A little bit more. Here we go. A little bit more. What is the name of Bart's favorite comic book action hero's sidekick?
Milhouse played him. Damn it. Fallout Boy.
Fallout Boy is correct. Yes, he is correct. Absolutely. All right, a little bit. Are you ready? What question are we on? I didn't even know. Was that four? Was that four or five?
I think that was four.
That was four. All right, so question number five. What is Sideshow Bob's middle name? It is mentioned numerous times when he is there. Let's see.
I'm going to go ahead and give a pass on this one.
Bob, a pass?
No, hang on. I'll make something up.
But how about I can give you
give me something.
I can give you a multiple choice.
There you go.
Multiple choice. Is it A, Terwilliger, B, Robert, or C, Underdunk?
That would be B, Robert.
You are incorrect. It is Terwilliger. I think. Let me just go down here.
Did you just say fuck? Because this is a family-friendly show here.
I believe that you actually said fuck as well when you asked if I said fuck.
You know what? We were both wrong. His middle name is Underdunk. That was the correct answer.
Yeah, I would have never got that. You stopped
what
me.
Was the Terwilliger? I thought it was.
I think I'm still winning
Bob
by default
Terwilliger.
Here.
Terwilliger's his last name. That's what
it is. Terwilliger's last name.
All right. Let's see. What was the name of the first Simpsons episode that aired in the United States?
That's when they got the dog. Is the very first episode. I'm gonna go ahead. It's Santa's Little Helper, but it was a Christmas episode. A Christmas Miracle.
No, it was Simpsons roasting on an open fire. All right, let's see. That was question number seven, six?
Seven, sure.
Six, sure, whatever. who was the star of Channel Ocho?
Bumblebee, which is...
Correct. No, that was correct. Bumblebee is the star of Channel
Ocho. No me gusta. Ay, caramba.
Right. And let's see here. Who practices medicine without a license?
Hi, everybody. Hi, Dr. Nick.
That is incorrect. Oh, so...
without a license. Whoa. This is cool.
Yes. Uh-huh. Hey, actually, Dr. Hibbert.
Dr. Hibbert, huh?
Mm-hmm. That was discovered in an episode that he actually did not have a license. All right. Let's see. This is my favorite question here. What are we at? Question nine.
I think they're on 13.
No, we're on...
Nine, sure.
All right, sure, we'll say that. Okay. Right. So my favorite... It's a two-part question.
Two-part. First
two-part
part.
Question. What was the name of Homer's secretary when he was promoted?
Mindy. Oh, no, it's Carl.
Carl, that is part one. That is correct. Carl, who voiced him?
Auntie Vera Charles.
No, it wasn't.
Damn it.
Goodness. I do know this. If you give me... Whatever, I'm winning by default. I don't know.
Homer.
Yes.
What you have here.
I understand the voice. I mean, I know who it is.
Then who is it?
Give me a second for good.
No, you're not going to go look it up. It's Harvey Fierstein.
I would have not got that.
Harvey
actually.
Fierstein.
I was thinking it was. Mm-hmm. I was thinking Conan.
No, it wasn't Conan. Okay. So finally, number 10. Final.
By default.
The final question here. Let me find. Let's see. No, that's too easy. What is the name of Gabbo's puppeteer?
Gabbo. Oh, wow. You are a torturous man, sir. Yeah, you can go ahead and play the clock, and I don't think I'm going to get this. And I don't know how to pronounce this person's name on the chat room.
Q-Sledge.
But Hank Azaria, as Homer's boss, whenever he goes to, he works in a different state. Fair enough.
Right. No, Gabbo's puppeteer is Arthur Crandall. Arthur Crandall. Excellent. So, we're nothing if not meticulous on this show about keeping score. So, Adam, how many did he get correct out of 10?
Was I supposed to be keeping score? it sounded like system. He got about 5.
He got about 5. I think he got, probably 6, right? Maybe even 7. 6 or 7, I'm going to say that he got right. Hell, we'll just say 7 because he showed up. So there you go. Wesley Stone, you have been defeated unless you want to show up on this show and actually answer 10, yet better than 7 out of 10 Simpsons questions.
I'll just take the win by default.
Right. I can't believe that Dr. Wesley Pythagoras Stone was just...
What? You can't believe that he didn't show up, please.
Talk to him on the phone.
And I actually talked to him on the phone as well. That's right. It might have been a few years ago.
No, but I called him like last week and said, I need you to be around next Sunday to... So, Kent, how have you enjoyed your trip to the fabulous New England?
It has been very cold, if there's anything. New England's very different. I love it and hate it all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And but you're no stranger to New York City, you had never seen Avenue Q before.
I had never seen Avenue Q before, no, and I had never seen an off-Broadway play.
Ooh. Have you seen a Broadway play?
I have seen a Broadway play. I saw Young Frankenstein.
Oh, that's right, Young Frankenstein. So now you've seen it. Was there a much difference between the off-Broadway and the Broadway show?
The size of the theater was different. However, our seats, we were in the mezzanine in the very back row, and we were still closer than our, our orchestra seats in on Broadway.
Yeah.
The sound quality was great. So
yeah, there you go. So there you go. He, Adam, Kent had never seen Avenue Q before, and
now the proud owner of a CD.
That's right. He bought the CD. He bought the soundtrack.
I've not seen it either. So
you have to. It's wonderful.
I would like to see it, but I haven't.
You should hang yourself.
Here's some rope.
excellent. We did not get to see Michael Cantaloupe. He is playing the part of Trekkie Monster down in Orlando in Avenue Q. So a little bit of confusion there. We thought maybe we'd see him in New York. But no, we didn't. So,
You thought he was in New York instead of in...
No, I didn't actually think that. I was just making it funny. I posted on Facebook. I checked in at Avenue Q and I said, I hope we get to see Michael Cantaloupe. And, then he replied to it. He's like, oh, I'm in Florida, not in New York. I was like, yes, I know that. I was making a joke. It was not.
Right.
Right. So there you go. You can't ask Kent about the Mohegan Sun because he hasn't seen it yet.
But we can. I finally pulled up this picture that you posted of Adam on Twitter.
Yes.
Quite funny.
Yeah.
Who is that?
That's Davy Jones.
And he's very cute. He's not cute now.
I can't confirm or deny those facts, but nonetheless, it's still a very funny photo and accurate.
Let me just say this. That was who your mom had a crush on.
Well,
my mother.
Yeah, that would have been no. That because he was from the '60s. He was a television star in the '60s.
I was thinking that.
And
the
musician.
Who is what?
The one that everybody had a crush on.
Davy Jones. Because Marsha on the. So here, you have to.
Good song.
That's not actually David Jones, but that's the Monkees that he was. That was
probably Nesmith.
That was Mickey. Mickey.
Okay.
All right. Excellent. There you go. So, well, obviously, you know what we need to do here, Adam, is we need to do our technology segment. We don't have the music because we're having a really hard time getting that stuff back up and running because I don't have 2 sound cards. So I'll just go ahead and read the words to the technology.
Okay.
And then you can just intro it while I do it. You ready? Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, change it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it.
Now it's time for technology. Brought to you by Bad Renditions of a Theme Song.
Load it, check it, quick, rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it. That's right. It's the technology segment here on DI Plus. We actually have, I don't know where the fuck that
is. Do we have a technology segment?
I don't know, but we had a request for one. I can tell you that.
Oh,
Today one of our loyal listeners, Mr. Guru Nudie, posted on the Google Plus who says, I love technology, but I just can't find what I want. Is an Ultrabook with a Core i7, 8 gigs of RAM, 256 gig SSD, 11 to 13.3-inch touchscreen with Windows 8 too much to ask for? Apparently so. If only there were a podcast with a technology segment.
Wait, what did he want?
I don't know.
An Ultrabook with what?
He wants an Ultrabook.
Yes.
With an i7.
Okay.
I'm assuming if you're going to go for the i7, you'd want a quad core, right? I mean, why would you go for anything less than that, right? 8 gigs of RAM, which I think is a bit light, but, you know, 8 gigs of RAM. A 256 gig SSD, which again, I believe is a bit light, but, you know, okay. An 11 to a 13.3-inch touchscreen.
So let me just, first of all, I am not ignorant, as it might have sounded the last show that we had. Uh-huh. Although I am not as familiar with hardware as some people, because I am not a hardware file or whatever you want to call it. So when I bought my Ultrabook, I didn't realize that there was an i7 for like mobile devices or whatever that was different than the i7 that you get when you buy a desktop computer.
Correct. They are so, suffixed with the letter M. So when you see the i7M or the i5M or even the i3M, the main difference between them is the power. They have a low power mode that they will go into when they're not being used.
So what I will say is, I do not think you will get an Ultrabook with you. First of all, I love my Ultrabook, even though it is not as powerful as what I thought it would be.
Can you sing a song about it?
No, but. Oh. I will recommend if he's not needing to do things like edit video or things that are really CPU intensive, that the Lenovo Yoga is a very nice Ultrabook. Okay. You can get it with an i7, but it's the i7M.
Mm-hmm.
It will only get up to 2.0. Something, and that's with like turbo boost or something.
Yeah, and I don't quite understand why he wants an Ultrabook. So let's Ultrabook in and of itself is nothing more than a marketing term, right?
It's just small. They're thin and
right, and,
light.
And the primary reason that they are thin is they don't have cooling systems inside of them, so they don't have a big fan structure inside of them, which is why they tend to be on lower powered chips because they don't run as hot. It's like you can't take a desktop i7, a quad core i7, or even a 6-core i7, or you can't put one of those in a notebook without having a really huge cooling system. I mean, that's the whole point of your desktop system, is the majority of it is there to cool things down because they get really hot, right? You take a quad core i7 chip that's going to burn about 200 watts. That now the analogy there would be you take a 200 watt light bulb and you plug it in, that sucker generates some heat, right? I mean, even a 100 watt light bulb generates a lot of heat. It's the cooling system that make it, that make the machines bigger, right?
Yeah,
more space to put in the cooling, even water cooling and stuff. So, your Ultrabooks are really, really small. So what they do is there's two main sources of heat inside of a modern computer, right? There is the magnetic hard drive because of the spinning platters and the motors inside of it, they heat up. And then there's the actual chip that heats up. So by switching the primary storage device from a magnetic media to SSD, you're eliminating a huge source of heat out of those machines because the hard drives generate no heat because there's no moving parts inside of a SSD, right? The solid state drive, it has no moving parts. So it's all flash memory. So, and the side benefit of that is it's much, much faster than a regular hard drive. So what you do is you tune back the chip. So an i7M is not going to perform in the same way that an i7 desktop would. So you're probably better off going with the i5 line. But if you don't need the ultra thinness of it, what I tend to do, like the one that Kent is on over here, is an Asus. I like a bigger screen, so it's a 17-inch screen. And then what I have done in the meantime is I have replaced the hard drive with an SSD, so I get the speed benefit of that. But that allowed for me to buy a better machine that had a discrete graphics card in it. So my machine actually has an NVIDIA graphics card in it, so I could play video games on my laptop because it has a discrete video card in it.
But if you really are wanting... If you really are wanting an Ultrabook for the size and that sort of thing and the touchscreen, I know you don't. I think I like the touchscreen for Windows 8. I actually have used it. The Yoga is a very nice machine. You can get that at an i3, i5, or i7, but it's the M. The RAM, it will come standard with 4, but if you get it straight from Lenovo's website, you can get an 8, Or you can buy an upgrade yourself, and it's very easy to put that in, which is what I'm going to do. And
yeah, I was going
to
say, I think 4 gigs is a bit light.
And the most you can go on the Yoga is 8. And there is an extra slot for another solid-state drive, so you can get it at 256, and the biggest that particular size drive comes in right now is 256 because it's tiny. So you could buy a second 256 and put in yourself to get up to 512.
Right, but now you're talking like, so the base Yoga is 630, and that's the one with just 2 gigs of RAM and a 64 gig SSD. So
they don't make it.
You're adding in all these extra things.
Well, you're going to pay for Ultrabooks. You're going to pay more because of the size.
That's what I'm saying. The only, Ultrabook is really nothing more than a marketing.
Well, it is size. I mean, you can't get a regular laptop that's that thin.
But
you can
get pretty damn close. Actually, we just bought Robert a new quad core i7 laptop. That's actually lighter than mine. I mean, it's modern laptops are light.
So it just depends.
Just make sure that you really do want an Ultrabook before you pay the money. It's like a MacBook Air is really nice and thin and everything like that. But if you're not a regular traveler that you have to like carry these things around and put them in a bag and try to fit them into, the overhead compartment on a plane or underneath the seat in front of you, if those aren't your concerns, if it's just a matter of, I want a nice laptop, you don't have to go the Ultrabook route. You can save yourself probably a good $400 to $500 just by not going with the ultra thin.
That is true.
And you'd be in at the same weight. So if it's just a matter of weight that is being carried around, ones that aren't that thin are still just as light. So anyway, that's not far. So there you go. That was the technology segment here. We'll do a proper one next week. But it's buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it. Change
that was technology brought to you by...
Write it, cut it, paste it, save it.
Daniel's voice.
Check it, quick rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag and drop it, unzip it, lock it, fill it, call it. Aren't you supposed to play the
I don't have any sound effects. And besides, there's one other thing I wanted to...
Contact. It's the... What the fuck? Would it become such an amateur show?
No, see, what happened was your computer died and my iPad died. All of my sound effects were on my iPad and all of your stuff was on
My nephew came all the way up here from Florida and here we are. We're just putting on the lamest fucking show.
He can listen to a back episode.
In the history of the world.
I've been on episodes before.
I'm just saying that we don't have the contact song's not even in the Dropbox, so I can't even play it here. This is horrible, Adam.
I did while you look for the contact song.
I don't have it. I've never had it.
You don't. Yeah, because you sent it to me originally. I didn't come up with that. You gave it to me. So you had it.
Just move along.
I did want to. There was one other thing I wanted to say about the strip club. So this was.
We're back to that. Yeah.
Yes.
We make sure we exhaust every single thing of that. Kent, your job is to like right when we're closing the show, just go. Oh, wait, one more thing I wanted to talk about.
By the way,
When I was in New York City.
No, I wanted to say that two things. First of all, I spent all of my frequent flyer miles that I had plus a couple $100 on what I thought was a really nice hotel.
Yes.
We get in there. I mean, Lowe's in Atlanta. What?
No, fuck that. We're starting over. We're just going to start over and do a proper show. That's what I'm telling you.
So, would you add a sound card during that?
From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for TI Plus to come screaming at you through the interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today.
You're going to redo that whole thing? Really?
TI Plus is brought to you by Comedy Sports. If you want to see a great show in New York City, make sure you check them out at the Comedy Sports at the Broadway Theater on 51st Street. Check them out online, comedysportsnyc.com. And don't forget to use the special listener checkout code TI Plus for an amazingly funny discount. Welcome to TI Plus. I am Daniel Brewer, and I'm joined by the comedy free state of Florida, by the one and only Mr. Kent Gutowski. Hi, Kent. How are you?
Hello, Daniel. How are you?
Excellent. I've had a great day. How have you been?
So far, I have been wonderful.
Great. We haven't recorded in a while.
I just experienced some deja vu.
Yeah, and so I just wanted to, make sure. Oh, shit, that fell off really quick. Whatever. All right, fuck it. I can't even do that.
Oh, so the Lowe's is a very nice hotel. But we get up to the room. I thought it was really nice. I mean, really wonderful room. We get up to the room. I want to impress my boyfriend the first time I've taken him on a trip. And I say, so what do you think? We've got a really nice view. We're on like the 22nd floor. We're looking out over Atlanta. And he goes, it's okay. Mm-hmm. All of that for that. I was like heartbroken because apparently he stays in like $500 a night hotels when he goes on trips. I don't know. Like it was a really nice 4-star hotel.
You sure you don't have the contact song anywhere? Contact song anywhere?
No, I don't have the contact song. But
really? Do you have it anywhere?
I don't.
I really would like you to have it.
It's on my iPad that will not restart. And I don't think I have it anywhere other than the iPad. The iPad died. So I
How
have
does
to,
an iPad die? I thought that was the whole point. The Apple product never died.
Well, I don't know. It was working until I let it completely discharge, the battery completely discharge.
One of the greatest things ever in the history of the world.
And now I can't, the Apple logo just blinks off and on.
Let's see, I think I got this. No, this is not doing it.
Celebrate good times.
No, this is supposed to be the, but it's not. No, this is the old one, and it's really... Is it this one? Why is it so quiet? There you go.
Are you happy now?
Wow, that's loud. Let's make contact. Excellent. So, Adam, I hear we have some contact this week. What would that be?
Yeah, you're not getting away from the stripper story. I am telling that before the end of the show.
God,
but
sake,
I will.
I have to go. Can we get to the?
But yeah, I had an email. If I can find it, so give me 1 second, because
we know we are the best prepared podcast in the history of the world. We should have been put up for an award or something.
Best produced. Well, you know what? I did have it pulled up, and then for some reason, I must have went into a different.
You know what? That's sort of the thing. Ever since we have gotten that best produced podcast nomination, we have just gone downhill. We used to actually have a really well produced podcast, and now we just have shit.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've kind of rebelled against coming up with segments because they're all poo pooed. So I'm just like, oh fuck it, we'll just talk about whatever.
Right.
So here is the email from Dave. He says, "I'm one of your listeners, viewers of your podcast. I enjoy Dubious Intent and Geeky Gay. I feel like I know you." Because of whatever. And then he says, I'm supposed to paraphrase this paragraph. So I'll just say he's 52 and married.
Yes.
And so we are his kind of view into the world of gayness.
Oh, he must have a fucked up view.
there was a paraphrasation of his.
A paraphrasation?
Yes. Iconoclastic paraphrasation.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Paraphrasation of his paragraph. So to comment on the New Year's Eve stuff, used to live on the East Coast, but now in Idaho. It is great, this big run up on TV until 9:59 p.m. Now cut over to the 10 p.m. news. What a letdown. About 2 hours later, they play the delayed version of the ball dropping.
Yes.
So that's his version of New Year's where he lives. On the cookies, for soft cookies, he tells me that you have to cook them a bit less.
Hold on. I just want to say about the ball dropping. So if anyone was ever curious, you know, like the Walt Disney World Christmas Day Parade is actually filmed like in September. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the Walt Disney World Christmas Day Parade does not actually happen on Christmas Day. There's actually nobody doing that parade on Christmas Day in Florida at Disney World. They do the parade like in September, and they have like fake crowd shots and stuff. Because I've been there when they've done it before and everything. I just want to assure everyone, the ball dropping in New Year's Eve actually done live. Because I have no
well, that's good to know.
That. Now I can confirm that because we were there and we saw, and so there was no tape delay there. I just want to let you know that, just in case there was any confusion. Now go ahead, please. How do you make chewy cookies?
Well, he says cook them less. He doesn't know if more brown sugar will help. And then he says he enjoys the ranting.
I think some xanthan gum would help.
Maybe. Maybe I should do that. He says he enjoys the ranting and raving. I do that. He does that himself occasionally. Nice knowing that he's not the only one with some of the same issues, especially the one about flying. He likes going. I don't know. Where this okay anyway he likes flying for work and says is it worth it, so he says please keep doing the interesting shows,
right? Please keep mangling my emails that I send in,
so
is what he's basically
thank
saying.
You
he's
Dave
like, I took the time to write this email and you're just like just butchering it.
Thank you Dave so much for that email.
I'd like to not only thank you Dave, but I'd like to apologize to you for Adam butchering your email.
You know, I did not butcher that. Okay, here is our voicemail.
Yes.
And I think this was supposed to be a death phone.
Ring ring. It's for Vitas. I'm calling to tell you that iconoclastic Mayor Ed Koch died.
Yeah,
are you guys still doing your show?
Gravitas, I will answer that. Barely.
We barely died? We're barely still doing our show. You know what? Look, now, sitting right here to my right is a sound card. It's my second sound card. I will get it installed into the machine, and I will get the stuff copied off the other hard drives and stuff.
I will revive my iPad and find the sound effects that...
Whatever. We will be back up to full strength next week.
We've
been gone for 3 weeks. We can't just throw a full strength episode at you.
Right. That's exactly right.
That's right.
We're slowly easing the audience back into it.
It's like you wouldn't want to get into a shower that is like really hot, right? I mean, you know, that's too hot, right? So, you know, you have to go through the lukewarm phase first.
I think you hit the nail on the head on that one. This show definitely got that one. That was where you're going.
So back to the strip club.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
All right. If you're interested in hearing about the strip club, please write me. AdamBurns.uk at Gmail.
Tell us about the goddamn strip club, please.
No, all I was going to say is this was Mark's first time at a strip club. And I know that you and that the audience has heard me talk about a couple of different things.
Yes.
Strip clubs and the fact that I had not drunk with him before because he refuses to drink with me. He drank, I believe.
Yes.
I will just say we went to two different strip clubs. He liked Swingin' Richards the best.
Uh-huh.
And by the last night that we went to the strip club, I almost got him to get a lap dance himself. He did go up and tip someone, two or three different people, and he was drunk.
Now, if they are fully naked, where exactly do they put their tips?
They put an armband on.
Ah, okay.
And you put the tips in the armband, and by the end of the evening, we almost went to the VIP room, but it was time to go. So when we started on Friday night, he was very timid and like he wanted me to tip, but he just wanted to watch me tip the people. And, you know, by the end of the evening on Saturday night, he was actually going up and tipping. And so the next time, and so when questioned later about the trip, he said his favorite part of the trip was the strip club.
Well, there you go.
So
not the hotel that you spent a lot of money on.
Not at all. It was a really nice fucking hotel.
I believe his words were, it's okay.
It's all right.
It's all right.
Yeah, yeah. You know, honestly, Adam, I think next time.
Just because he stayed at the Hilton when he went to New York and paid like $500 a night.
Go with there. Just check into like a KOA campground or something. Just have a nice little, you know, a nice cheap little campsite that's $6 or $8. You know, bring a tent and everything. And then you won't have to spend the money. Then you can spend even more money on the strippers, which seems to be the part that he cared about.
Exactly. Well, I spent 26,000 frequent flyer miles plus $300 on this hotel.
Wow.
That was a lot. And all he could say was, it's okay. Damn it. It was really nice.
Right. Well, you know, all I'm trying to say is if you go with a cheaper place, then you would have had more money to spend on strippers and alcohol. And then he probably would have said, you better bring a funnel. DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 2x2 DI Plus. That's 229-234-7587. Or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com.
Yeah, and if you have any of our...
theme song is going to sound like absolute shit because it's coming through my side and then it's going over.
If you have any of our missing sound effects...
I can't hear you.
Oh.
Say something now. What?
If you have any of our missing sound effects, email them to contact@dubiousintent.com.
Yeah, if you know where any of our missing files are and our missing show. Matter of fact, don't even listen to this show. Just stop listening. I know this is the end of it. Maybe we should put this at the beginning of the show and just like a Surgeon General warning.
I don't know.
They shouldn't.
Stop.
Kent, thank you for joining us.
I really appreciate you bringing me on the show.
Yeah, he's pissed off. Anyway, good night, Chad.
Good night, David. Did you even say the right name?
No, I didn't.
He said Chad.
Chad?
Chad.
Good night, Chad.
Who the fuck is Chad?
I don't know.
Excellent.